Welcome to Dominate for Two, a War Machine and Hordes podcast.
I got that.
That's going to make the post.
Oh, man. I may have made some poor eating decisions earlier, by the way. Keep doing that. Where I like ate spicy food and then I decide I want an ice cream afterwards. Bad times for my belly. Good times for the tongue, though. Mm-mm.
This is like another another In-N-Out burger discussion.
In-N-Out burgers. I haven't done that in a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a while for me, too.
You know why? Because there isn't one nearby. You know what I also haven't done in a really long time is a donut burger.
Oh, God. Wait, the sweet is so fucking weird on a donut burger.
Oh, it's so good, though. God damn, I'm fat. But, I mean, so good.
Well, it's like that almost saccharine sweetness, which is, like, fine on its own for a donut, you know, when you're expecting it. But, like, on top of the savory, like, it just does not work for me.
Yeah, it worked for me. Maybe you had too sweet a donut on your donut burger.
I mean, it could be. I had, like, a Krispy Kreme.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't want to. You need to get one of the, you know, what's that donut place we stop by when I come and pick you up? The
Happy Donuts.
Happy Donut. They have the beefier donuts. Like, you need more bread in the donut to make a better donut burger. The Krispy Kreme ones are too light.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's like, you got some toppings. You got the beef drippings.
Oh, you mean like old fashions with the cake? Batter.
No, not the cake batter. You just need some place that makes bigger glazed, right? Because like the Happy Donut ones are like bagel size. Like they're just a bigger donut.
I don't know. I think a cake donut would almost be perfect though. Because like, well, I mean, I get what you're saying about the Krispy Kremes being like too small.
They're too fluffy and light to make a decent bun out of.
No, yeah, because as you're handling it, it just compresses into this wafer thin thing of sweetness.
Yeah, no, that's where your problem. Your hands. You needed a more robust donut platform.
Yeah, I mean, I think
because
a cake donut would do it too.
Yeah, cake donut. I mean, I think the cake texture wasn't great, but yeah, the one I had was a beefier donut, which is why it worked out really well. But what also worked out really well is it was a burger with pepper jack on a donut.
Ooh,
fucking amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like magic.
Yeah, it was, well, because it was one of those things, I don't normally get pepper jack, but like the burger just came that way where the place where my friends had taken me, and I was like, all right, sure, whatever. And then I got it, and I was like, this was exactly the right call, because pepper jack with the donut and the burger was just magic.
Do you do a slice of cheese on each end of the burger? Because I think that might work. Because the donut hole is a bit of a problem, but if you have that like kind of melty dairy in between, it'll hold in the juices and keep you from getting as messy.
I've got three words for you, Alex: jelly filled donut.
Oh yeah, no, we should try a Boston cream burger donut.
You know what might be money is like those dumplings with like the jelly in them.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, do a donut, but rather than having like fruit filling, have that like beefy, you know, shrimp or beef jelly inside. Like season it with paprika instead of powdered sugar. That would be awesome.
Yeah, well, the other genius thing that this place did, which I hadn't considered, is that they cut the donut in half and flipped it.
Oh, so you have the rounded parts on the inside?
Yeah. Mm. And you weren't putting your hands in the coating.
Yeah, in the glaze.
And I was like, these are people who donut burger. Because they knew all the tricks. I was like, uh-huh. These are professionals, people.
they have technical mastery over the craft of donut burger.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. Well, you know how it is. Like when you make something regularly, like you learn things about creating it. And obviously, like doing that as a regular shtick, like they had figured out what needed to actually be done to make it a viable product.
Yeah.
Speaking of regular shtick, recording.
Yes, we are recording.
Actually, real quick, one second. I'm going to change my push to talk button.
Yeah, we now have an almost 5-minute treatise on how to do a donut burger.
Dude, this is important information for our fans.
USA, USA, USA. Oh. You can't get this shit from any of those Canadian, like,
yeah,
because they have something like self-respect and concerns about their health up there.
Dignity grows.
Yeah,
but it's also like this is how to California too, which is essential skills for the rest of the United States.
Well, are donut burgers a Californian thing? I feel like
I think so. I believe donut burgers was actually a Seattle thing.
It's definitely a West Coast thing. Like the West,
that's dangerously close to Canada.
Well, so here's the crazy thing. It's like the West Coast is super into burgers in a way that the rest of the United States is either not or is just starting to be. You know, like everywhere else, like when I was in D.C., you know, burgers were a kid's food and you wouldn't see a serious restaurant doing like a burger as its thing. But that's really caught on over here. And we just have a colossal burger culture, like way outside the fast food world, and just make a goddamn burger, you know,
because burgers are the best. California is always on the best side of everything.
Well wasn't McDonald's Californian? Yep. Same with In-N-Out.
I have no idea. I mean, but the thing is, like there's a you know, because for most of the U.S. burgers are like the province of, you know, barbecues maybe, and then otherwise they're not normal. Like the craft of burger out here is really refined. Like, fuck lettuce, get lettuce out of here, put arugula on that stuff. Like, arugula is always the perfect partner to beef and, like, you know, just all that. Also, get that ketchup gone.
Dude, I love ketchup. Fuck you.
I am not a ketchup person. I mean, like, I like ketchup on a burger, but, like, I'd much rather have, like, you know, a wasabi or a garlic aioli or something like that. And like, it prevents the juices from super saturating your bun. Like, it's the biz.
Fucking love ketchup.
I will only tolerate ketchup if it's there in equal parts with yellow mustard and mayo.
Oh God, you people are just not right in the head.
No, I don't like ketchup. There's too much sugar in it. I really like vinegar and savory flavors. Ketchup's the fucking
best.
Have you tried making your own ketchup? Because that might really make the difference. Like, you get some tomato
puree. No, I've seriously considered doing it, though.
Yeah, because you can get, like, a spicier, less sweet ketchup if you do it yourself, and it really doesn't take long at all. It's, like, basically, you know, melting a bunch of seasonings into a tomato puree.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to this shit.
Okay. Yeah. we could start our own food podcast, but
dude, that would actually be legit too.
I would be so down for a food podcast.
Oh, dude, we need to like spend an entire episode unpacking like what's the deal with my cheese dreams.
Oh, your fucking cheese nightmares. Do you know they made movies in like the dawn of cinema about cheese nightmares?
Is this a real thing? Like, people keep on giving me shit.
No, this is a real thing. I'm not even fucking with you. Like, I worked at an indie film and classic film startup, and I've seen most of the movies between 1899 and 1920 that were made. Like, the cheese nightmare thing is real, and people in the 19th century knew about it.
So I just googled this. Apparently,
a lot more cheese.
There's no causal link between nightmares and eating cheese, but apparently eating cheese right before bed does give you bad quality sleep.
So there's a type of sandwich from, like, used to be really popular in America, isn't anymore, called a rarebit sandwich. And it's basically a grilled cheese, but it's made with queso. So it's like a melty ass cheese sandwich with cheese poured on top of it. And you cut it into it with a knife and eat it. And there's this film called Dreams of a Rarebit Fiend. And then like three remixes of it in the 1920s. And it's this guy who eats this rarebit sandwich right before sleep and has fucking terrifying nightmares and then wakes up.
Like, I told you guys about the Stingray one, right?
The Stingray one? No.
Where it was basically like the plot of Moon. Spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched Moon. Basically, I was trapped in this place with this giant telepathic stingray that would kill me and clone me whenever I figured out what was going on.
Whoa.
And I lived through like 3 and 4 death clonings over the course of the nightmare. It was really gnarly.
Oh my god. Remind me to tell you guys when I see you next about my Disney princesses dream. Is the second it's not actually not safe for work, but it's a long fucking story. But the second time I was living in Italy, like, I don't know fucking what it was, something about the air, something about the food, something. But for 3 months while I was living in Italy, I had just the most bizarre, vivid dreams every single night. And I slept fucking great, but I remembered every single one of my dreams in, like, perfect detail. And it was so weird. And the weirdest one was this Disney princess's dream. So remind me to tell you about it the next time.
No. Let's get, like, a third bonusode going.
Oh,
like,
my
I'll
God.
Cut together all the burger shit from the beginning.
Holy
and then, like,
shit.
This, the cheese dreams, yeah, let's do it.
All right, so...
Legit.
So, oh my god, the second time I was in Italy, this was for college, and we had a Rome semester every sophomore year, and then some weird shit happened with my college, and I got a second Rome semester. Anywho, the Rome semester was actually, like, we weren't staying in Rome, we were staying in this decrepit beach community in Ladispoli, which is like a 30-minute train ride outside of Rome. And we were staying in this place called the Hotel Mexico. And there was a bunch of weird shit about the Hotel Mexico. The college paid...
The fact that it was called Hotel Mexico and you're in Italy?
Oh my god, that actually does tell you a lot about it. And it's like, on Via Napoli, and then at a certain point, Via Napoli turns into Viale Messico, and literally every business on Viale Messico is owned by the same family, and as far as I can tell, neither the family that owns everything nor anyone they know has ever been to Mexico, but for some reason everything is called, like, whatever Mexico. Anywho, Hotel Mexico, the college paid for our stay there entirely in cash. Like, that's the kind of hotel that it was. It was also the kind of hotel that rented by the half an hour. And we had tiger mosquitoes and probably beds with AIDS. Like, I have mosquito AIDS now. I don't know. Anywho, we're staying at this place, and every fucking night, I can't put my finger on it. Like, I just have the most vivid dreams, and I remember every single fucking detail. So one of the dreams I have is I dream about traveling to Italy again, like the start of the semester, getting on the plane, getting there. And, you know, I'm dreaming like, okay, we're all stopped at Heathrow, like me and my buddies Patrick and Eddie. We're traveling to Rome for our second Rome semester. We're all stopped in Heathrow. And there's some kind of mechanical failure in the plane, and like, okay, our flight's canceled. Like, we got the last one of the evening. We have to spend the night somewhere. We're not going to do it in the airport. Like, let's just go to this shitty airport hotel near Heathrow. And we get there, and it's a piece of shit. And, you know, but whatever. We basically just got to, you know, spend 12 hours there, and then we're off to Italy. So we all go to sleep. And I start dreaming, like, I wake up, and it's in, like, you know, primordial prehistoric times, and I'm a bear, but I'm not just any bear, like, I'm a bear with a mission. And this is, like, furry, you know, bear with claws and teeth and everything, not like Folsom Street Fair bear.
Oh, when you said furry there, I thought you meant, like, you were, like, chilling as a bear in, like, one of those, like, creepy-ass furry, fursuits.
No. Actual, like, grizzly bear. Not creepy-ass fursuits with the weird human eyes. So, primordial times. I'm a bear with a mission. I know that the Disney princesses, like, Belle, Ariel, Snow White, etc., are somewhere in this forest in, you know, the virgin jungle, like conducting this ritual that will destroy the world. And I have to go stop this. So I like charge through the woods and find their weird ass fairy circle where they've got all their animal friends like singing and dancing, conducting this rite that will end the world. And I just tear into these little Disney animated animals with my claws and stuff and rip them up and disrupt the rite that will end the world. But the Disney princesses, which are like weird super powered beings, are super pissed at this. And they're like, all right, Bear, you fucked up our ritual, so we're going to fucking end you. And like, you know, the Disney princesses restrain me, and Belle takes like this evil silver knife and stabs me in the fucking heart. And I die as a bear in the dream. And then I wake up years later as a human being, like, in present day Rome. And I'm a human being with a mission. I know the Disney princesses, like, it's been X number of thousands of years and they're doing the fucking right again. And I have to go and disrupt it. And it's, again, a dance in a ballroom, like, storm in, break people up, like, all that. And as I, like, the Disney princesses aren't there, but, like, the dance is fucking off. The ritual's not going to happen. And then I see Belle walk in with, like, her security detail, and she's got the fucking knife, and she sees me, and she recognizes me, like, you're the fucking bear. You're going down. And the security detail is, like, chasing me through the street, and I run away, and I don't actually escape them. They track me down, and Belle stabs me in the chest with the silver knife again. And I'm like, I wake up in the shitty airport hotel in Heathrow, and I'm like, holy shit, this was like the two most vivid dreams I ever remember. And I look around for my buddies, Eddie and Patrick, and they're fucking gone. And there's a note on one of the beds like, we know who you are. We've taken your friends, the Disney princesses. And then I wake up.
How much cheese did you have leading up to this?
Well, it's Italy, so probably a fuckload.
Yeah, I was just thinking that's pretty amazing how much cheese you must have eaten to get to that point.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so here's the weird thing. I was staying in Hotel Mexico, and every fucking dream was like this for like 4 months.
Interesting.
I can't
consider that you were possessed by a cheese demon.
I mean, actually, the cheese makes a lot of sense. I mean, again, Italy, I ate an unbelievable amount of cheese, but
there was so much good cheese in Italy.
Oh my God, it's so good. One of the best fucking things I did, I went down to a grocery store. One of my classmates had bought, like, you know, a shitty, like, plug-in stovetop thing. And, you know, like, all the other students would use it to, like, make snacks or whatever. And at one point, I went down to one of the grocery stores and dropped like 70 euros buying a gigantic cheese wheel and like 15 loaves of bread.
Ooh, this sounds dangerous. I think we're getting to the root of your problems here, Alex.
Oh my God. We had the porch that I can't even explain how fucking weird the Hotel Mexico was. Like, there were so many weird things. Like, we had our classes in the lobby, and there would be the same 6 to 7 Eastern European girls coming by with the same, like, 15 to 20 Italian guys going upstairs and then coming down 30 minutes later, like, through our classroom, which is in the lobby of this weird-ass hotel in this weird-ass part of this weird-ass suburb of Rome. But, like, we had
So, wait. I'm confused. What were they doing?
There were prostitutes. Weren't you paying attention?
They
were
wait. But you said there was a bunch of Italian guys and Eastern European girls. I have a hard time believing hardworking Eastern European girls prostitute themselves in Italy.
Yeah. So anywho, we had this like we had these shitty weirdo like everything I've said about the hotel should give you how fucking weird this is. And we had this little patio. And this hotel had so many fucking mattresses. I think they just threw them out there and bleached them and sun dried them. Yeah. But we had this. Yeah, it's like that. But we had this patio and we had all these spare fucking mattresses and bed frames. Like, we just made couches out of these hideous mattresses. And we had them on this patio, but this patio would get freezing cold at night. So I would store the cheese out there in between rounds of making what in retrospect was basically rarebit sandwiches. But basically the campus for like snacks and lunch lived off of this cheese wheel for like 3 weeks.
Mm. I don't think they were serious cheese eaters then if a cheese wheel lasted you 3 weeks.
I don't know. Cheese keeps pretty fucking long, especially when you're storing saying, freezing cold at night.
I would eat more than a cheese wheel in 3 weeks by myself.
That's fair.
I'm pretty sure that my weekly consumption of cheese as a person living here in California would it'd be at least a cheese wheel every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying.
We were doing like 3 to 4 grilled cheese sandwiches a person a day, but yeah. And actually, the more I describe this situation, the more it is sounding like cheese nightmares.
Oh, cheese nightmares are the best nightmares. You know, I hate to say it, but I've never had a cheese nightmare. The only nightmare I can remember having that was persistent and terrifying was the American Werewolf in London nightmares.
What?
So, when I was a child, American Werewolf in London came out.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I was not of the age range that should have been watching American Werewolf in London, but I went and I watched it and I thought to myself, oh, I don't know what's so scary about this, big deal. And then immediately thereafter, I started having nightmares, very incredibly vivid nightmares about being murdered by werewolves. And I'm not sure if there's any correlation between that movie and nightmares, but I feel like there was.
Well, where were you living at the time?
In a place with a lot of wolves. No.
I was living...
Very scary.
Spooky ooky.
No, it's just, I don't, there was just something about that film that just triggered like total nightmare situations. But interestingly, it's the only film I've ever had nightmares about.
Well, I think everyone has that, like, primordial terror movie at some point in their lives.
So, when Minority Report came out, I had a shit ton of nightmares about it. Because, what's it called? I don't know, that woman who drowns that they keep on showing? I think it's, like, Tom Cruise's wife or something?
Isn't it the precog? No, it is his wife.
I kept on having nightmares about how it was Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how to explain it, like, in any other way. It was just like, it's fucking Michael Jackson drowning.
Holy shit. All right. Are we good to wrap on this episode?
I don't know. I've never had any food nightmares. I guess that's the point of what I'm saying here.
Eat some cheese before you go to bed.
I mean, I could. I regularly eat cheese before I go to bed, so.
Maybe this should be the Dominate for 2 convention challenge. It's not like win X number of games or play whatever. Like, go to conventions with your friends, binge on cheese before you sleep, and then in the morning, everyone writes down their cheese nightmares and shares them at the end of the con.
Quality.
I'm actually trying to think of the last time I actually even had a nightmare at all. It's been a really long time. I sleep really well, by the way.
Oh my god, when I was unemployed for a really long time, I had an alarming number of nightmares about domestic situations and checking my bank balance. That shit is fun.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, since I know they're never going to find the bodies, I just sleep really well. I mean, it's been amazing.
Thank you for listening to Dominate for 2. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Got a question or an episode idea? Email us at dominateforto.podcast@gmail.com.